The title of our lesson is Obtaining the Principal Thing. Obtaining the Principal Thing. In our previous study of James verses 1 through 4, we looked at the fact that patience and Christian maturity are forged in the furnace of trials. Amen, church? They really are. In this study, we'll examine the need for wisdom, which Proverbs 4:7 says is the principal thing. Lehman Strauss, a fine Bible expositor in his book on James, says the second lesson is closely related to the first, since there is no greater need for wisdom than when one is passing through some deep trial of affliction. And if you have had that experience and could say amen to that, go right ahead. Amen. Boy, that is so true. It is difficult to act wisely when we have been wronged or when we are suffering. Roman numeral number one, we looked at the learning, the rendering of wisdom. Wisdom is not merely knowledge. We looked at that there in 1 Corinthians 1 and 1 Corinthians 8. We talked about how knowledge puffs up. And how many of you have ever met someone that had a lot of knowledge but not a lot of wisdom? Of course. Amen. Biblical wisdom is not rooted in theories and ideas, but rather in the real world of discernment and correct practical application of knowledge. You say, that's a long definition. Wisdom is not only knowing what's right, but doing what's right. Amen. That's Bible wisdom. And so we looked at it there, the nature of wisdom. Wisdom is found within the Son of God. Wisdom is found within the Word of God. Wisdom is found within the fear of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. So then, number two, we looked at some of the benefits of wisdom. The benefits of wisdom. And by the way, there are much, much more here. As we said before, we're just scratching the surface here. The benefits of wisdom, it brings happiness. It brings honor. And it builds homes. Amen. Upon wisdom is a house builded. And then number three, and lastly in our last lesson, we looked at the value of wisdom. The value of wisdom. We learn in Proverbs chapter 3 there, verses 14 and 15, and verse 16, chapter 16, verse 16, that it's far above rubies. It's precious. Wisdom is precious. Amen. Wisdom, according to Proverbs 4:7, is the principal thing. It's principal. It's number one to have wisdom. And then just go over a page in your Bibles there to James chapter number 3, and you see something else about wisdom, talking about godly wisdom here. Look, if you would, let's look at verse 14. And these are some incredible verses that some of us have seen unfold before our eyes. Amen. You see verse 14, it says, "But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish." I have seen people that thought they had godly wisdom, and yet there was strife, there was dissension. There was all those things. And God says right here, listen, don't lie. That wisdom doesn't come from Him. Then He says this. "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable." You see, a wise man is a peaceable man. Amen. A wise man, next word, is a gentle man. A gentle man. Easy to be entreated. Somebody you could talk to. Amen. Full of mercy. No mercy with the other quote-unquote wisdom. Amen. And good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Third thing, their value of wisdom, precious principle, it's pure. It's pure, amen, that godly wisdom from above. All right, number two here, looking at your outline, Roman numeral number two, we see not only the learning, number one, the rendering of wisdom. Number two, we see the lack or the requiring of wisdom. We see the lack or the requiring of wisdom. Look at verse 5 of chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 5. It says there, if any of you lack wisdom. So we see, first of all, the first word there, the condition, number one. We see the condition. If, okay, that's a conditional word, amen? And so we see the condition, if any of you lack wisdom. There are some that are wise, amen? But here God is saying, look, I'm placing a condition on there. If there are any of you that lack wisdom, okay, look at the next, number two, please. Not only the condition, but the inclusion. I love this. Wisdom, did you know this? Wisdom is not just for pastors. Wisdom is not just for evangelists. Wisdom is not just for deacons. Wisdom, it says, if any of, you know what? That's inclusive. Whosoever will, let him come. Hey, aren't you glad for the inclusiveness of salvation? Amen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad for the fact that, hey, if we meet that condition, if any of you, not only is there a condition, there's an inclusion, but then thirdly, there's a personalization. If any of you, that's personal. That means that if I lack wisdom, I can get it. I can get it. I can't tell you the amount of times, and I mention this particularly, it'll be 3 years, praise God. We've been here, God called us to be the pastor here in September of 09, and we came here with our family in November of 09, but I cannot tell you the amount of times that I've come to God, Brother Jeff, and say, I need wisdom. I need wisdom. God, help me. I can't preach sermons without wisdom. I just can't do it. Amen. I can't. When people come to me wanting biblical counsel and biblical counsel from God's Word, I want to say, God, please give me wisdom. I'm glad if He gives it to you, Uncle Joe, but I need it too. Amen. So it's, you see the condition, the inclusion, the personalization, and here's really important, the realization. The condition, the inclusion, the personalization, the realization. If any of you lack wisdom. Hey, you know, to ask for wisdom, you got to realize that you don't have it. Amen. Yeah, so somebody said that talking about denial. You know, that denial is a terrible thing. You know, here's somebody and they're eating gallons of ice cream, and you say, you know, I think you might have an eating problem, and they're still eating it, saying, no, I don't. Amen. That's denial. Amen. There are some people that think they're wise, but it's that wisdom we read about that's not from above. Amen. You got to have to realize you need it. I'll tell you, when you are a pastor, it's easy to realize you don't have wisdom. It's really easy to realize. Things come up, things come into your life, and you're like, wow. And I think for each one of us that's honest, if we'd look at the Bible and look at ourselves, we'd say, you know what? That last realization is an easy one. I lack wisdom. I need it. Here, John Phillips, another great Bible writer. The word for lack is the word lepo. It means destitute, wanting, or defective. If we are defective in wisdom, we will not know how to handle problems when they arise. And who has not felt totally inadequate at times to deal with situations that have arisen? James has a solution for that state of affairs. So we see Roman numeral number one, the learning, the rendering of wisdom. Roman numeral number two, the lack, the requiring of wisdom. Roman numeral number three, the lesson, the requesting of wisdom. The requesting of wisdom. Number one, I want you to notice with me there, the ancestry of wisdom. The ancestry of wisdom. God is the source of all wisdom. And all God's people said, God is the source. Go with me over to Romans chapter 11, please, in your Bibles. Hold your place in James. Go over to Romans chapter number 11. God is the source of all wisdom. You see, that's the problem with a lot of universities today. They've kicked God out, and how can you expect to get wisdom when you've kicked out the one in whom all wisdom is? Amen? Amen. Romans chapter 11, verse 33 says, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgment and His ways past finding out." God is the source of all wisdom. Next line there, God in wisdom. First line there, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God in His wisdom created all things. And I'm glad for the wisdom of God. I really am. I'm glad that God has everything completely. When He created it, you know, He created air. He created oxygen. He created carbon dioxide. It's amazing how God. I'm told that when. How many of you have ever been to the Continental Divide? Anybody ever been? Uncle Joe, you were probably just there. Amen. Did you know that a raindrop that falls on the east side of the Continental Divide goes to the Atlantic Ocean? And a raindrop that maybe is just a foot over on the west side goes to the Pacific Ocean. That's our God. Amen? God in wisdom did that. Not only does God in wisdom created all things, go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. God in wisdom created all things, but something else we see about God here. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 19. Proverbs 3:19 says, "The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath He established the heavens." Not only did God create all things by His wisdom, He set all things in order. He set all things in order. We mentioned that about the Continental Divide. We have the seasons, and I love the seasons. Unlike Miss Verley, who doesn't like fall or winter, amen. They're just too cold. I asked Verley. I said, "How are you tonight?" She said, "I'm not warm, amen." And I know that's true, amen. But listen, God's the one who set that in order. God set in order that you have the mountains and the rivers flow down and fill up the lakes and give us drinking water. It's just a beautiful thing. Beautiful. And it all comes from the wisdom of Almighty God. Think about the orbits. Amen. Thirdly, not only is He in wisdom created all things, set all things in order, sustains all things. Colossians chapter 1, go there with me if you would. He sustains all things. These are tremendous verses in Colossians. And I mentioned earlier several times this year, the book of Colossians, the Holy Spirit has used that to minister to me in unique ways this year, the book of Colossians. In Colossians chapter number 1, verse 9 says, "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." And then you jump down to verse 17 there, and it says, chapter 1, verse 17, it says, I read the wrong verse there. Chapter 1, verse 9 says, "For this cause we also," by the way, chapter 2, verse 9 is a great verse, amen. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Jump down to verse 17. "He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." People talk about the scientists. They talk about they can't understand why that your body doesn't just give out and fall apart. And I'll tell you why. It's because God sustains it. God keeps everything in order, amen. You think about the orbits of the earth, the moon, the sun. You think about all that, and I think about that especially, Brother Jeff, as I read through Revelation and I read how God shakes and moves things around, what that's going to do to our ecosystem. I'll tell you what, it's God in His wisdom that set things in order, created all things, and sustains all things. There's a verse in Ecclesiastes, I can't think of the reference right now. It talks about how He only lets the sea come so far. And then He says, go back. Well, I'll tell you, if you've ever been out, my wife and I had the privilege to grow up on the East Coast. We've been out on Cape Cod. I remember one time she was out there walking, and we'd roll up our pants and get on the beach, and it was low tide. And you could tell it was low tide too, amen. She was walking and walking and walking. And all of a sudden I looked and she was getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And I thought, thinking about those waves, Brother Tom, you do that at high tide, you'd be in big trouble. But you know what? God says you can only go so far. You can something about that. There's a sermon in that. You can only go so far. Amen. But God is the one who sustains all things. In His wisdom, He sustains all things. He set all things in order. He created all things. Number two, not only the ancestry of wisdom, but the availability of wisdom. And praise God for this, ladies and gentlemen. God's spring of wisdom will never dry up. It's always available. It's always, isn't that good news? I'm telling you, you get to the point, you'll have something come into your life. Many of you have already had something come into your life where it drops you to your knees. You don't know what to do. The Holy Spirit is interceding for you with groanings which cannot be uttered. But you need God's wisdom, and you know what? It's there for the asking. It's there for the asking. I think of my children as they ask me for things. And they know. Listen, if they want a drink, they just ask mom or dad to get a drink. That's what they do. The beauty of a child like that. Do you know if we want wisdom, all we got to do is ask dad. All we got to do is ask Abba, our Heavenly Father. Amen. Wisdom is always available. And then lastly tonight, not only the availability of wisdom, the ancestry of wisdom, the asking of wisdom. Go back to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask of God. If you want to put a cross reference there, you can put James 4:4. James 4:2. James 4:2, that's it. James 4:2. It says there, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and ye cannot obtain, ye fight war, and ye have not because ye ask not. The asking for wisdom. On your outline there, God tells the obedient child of God that if a lack of wisdom is realized, then it can be requested in prayer. We can ask God. And isn't it amazing? How many of you, by virtue of an amen, have had God give you wisdom when you ask for it? Say amen. Amen. I'm telling you what, nothing has changed. If that was 60 years ago or 6 days ago, nothing has changed. If we lack wisdom, it's available. We just have to ask for it. We just have to ask. And listen, God wants us to ask. We were talking about that in prayer. You know the story. And go there if you would. We'll close with this. Go to Luke chapter 18, please. Luke chapter 18. And this is such a great story. I think of my children sometimes. And my wife has the patience of Job. And I have, I think, the patience of Peter, amen, who didn't have much patience, amen. My kids will say, Mommy, Mommy, can I have a drink? Mommy, Mommy, can I have a drink? Mommy, 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 drink? Can I have a drink? Mommy, drink, drink, Mommy, Mommy, drink, Mommy, drink, 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 Mommy, Mommy, drink, drink. I'm glad they're not saying Daddy, because after a while they go, amen. This tells us, look at verse chapter 18 of Luke, verse 1. It says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Forgive me, I'm not being irreverent. Daddy, drink, drink, Daddy. Daddy, drink, 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 Daddy. Daddy, drink, drink, Daddy. Daddy, can I have a drink? Can I have a drink? What's it say? There was in the city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. Somebody who basically didn't care about anybody. Okay? There was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he thought within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. If we could put that into plain English today, says, I know she's not going to stop bugging me. Right? She's not going to stop bugging me. And though I don't care one lick about God, and I don't care what any man says either, I'm the judge, I'm going to get sick of her bugging me. It says, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man come, shall he find faith in the earth? That's a tremendous question. And I'll tell you where he will find faith in your life is if you're asking him. Asking, asking, asking. Listen, there's nothing wrong. I remember years ago I read this in Luke chapter 22 when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he prayed three times. And the third time, I believe the second and the third time, it says, and he spake the same words again. Sometimes we think about vain repetitions, and obviously we don't want to be like the heathen that pray these canned prayers. God is not angry with you if you come with the same words, especially if you're saying, God, I need wisdom. I need wisdom. Please give me wisdom. Please, I don't know what to do, God. You think about your situation. If you're a husband or a father or a mother, amen, you need wisdom, amen, not just for you, for your family, for your church family. I, as a pastor, need wisdom. Listen, it's available for the asking. Amen. Father, we love you. Thank you so much, God, that we can obtain the principal thing, and that's wisdom, God. We pray that you would help us, Lord, those of us that feel so inadequate of your wisdom. Oh, God, that you would please help us to ask for it. We know that you'll pour it out upon us if we'll ask. I pray that you would please bless. Bless all that's said and done tonight, God. Help us. Lord, perhaps there are some of us, Lord, that just said, well, I'm not going to ask anymore. Oh, God, would you convict our hearts and say, please, please help us to ask for wisdom. You said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Pray that you'd bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Page 317. What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. Page 317. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry. Come on now. Everything to God in prayer. Amen. Let's stand. Page 317. Let's sing it out on verse number 1. Amen. What a friend we have in Jesus. Everyone now.